I owe burlesque in a way, because it showed me I could do whatever I want and be really free.
I am on the prowl indeed. Welcome to Podcats. This is Cats, John Katzlamitas of the Las Vegas Review Journal. My column is called Cats, fittingly enough. Find it on page 3A every day and online all the time. Our guest this week spent more than 6 years in the cast of Absinthe at Caesar's Palace, originating the role of Green Fairy. She performed more than 3,000 shows for 1.3 million people during that run. She left in October of 2017 and is embarking on a solo show on the Strip. She has also released a new single and video. She is Melody Sweets.
M-E-L-O-D-Y. I heard you got the fever for the flavor. Heard you got the fever for the flavor. Heard you got the fever for the flavor. Somebody said you got it going on.
Get off my prop, little girl.
Get off my prop, little girl. We're here with Melody Sweets berating the... tourists here on the Las Vegas Strip. She's a, let's describe this. we're at Sugar Factory in the Las Vegas Strip at Fashion Show Mall, and there's a little girl climbing an 8 foot straw, or as I call it, a 7.5 foot straw. Right?
It's a seven and a half, almost eight foot straw ladder.
And there's a little girl climbing
all the way to the top. This is making me very
nervous. Now, is that supposed to be a playground effect?
No,
like
it's not.
Well, what has happened, ladies and gentlemen, is Melody recently debuted her new single out here in the video to that single, which is called Flavor of the Month, and she has a prop that's out here at the Fashion Show Mall gazebo at the Chocolate Lounge. And they've offered to keep it or buy it from her, but now it's turned into a county fair attraction or something. They
I
should
love
put
it.
Up a pay station out there. Oh, geez. Now we've got an adult
climbing.
Going. Oh, geez. Well, we know what they're going to use it for now. Describe this prop we're looking at here,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, well,
it's
this prop...
turned into a signature effect on the Strip without even trying.
This prop was built specifically so that I can do a burlesque act in it. It used to be an old martini glass. Kalani mm-hmm. Coconuts was the previous owner of the martini glass.
Burlesque performer in Las Vegas and a friend of ours. Yes.
And I wanted to do something new. The martini glass is used often, and I wanted to do something that makes sense for me. And it also happened that I released this new song, Flavor of the Month. It all went together. It's about 8 feet tall. It's a big, blinged out martini glass, but now it looks like a huge ice cream sundae. It has a pink and white swirled 7 foot straw ladder that
right.
I climb to get in, and these humongous ice cream scoops, latex ice cream scoops that fill the glass, and a cherry about the size of a pumpkin.
For a little more context, the 8 foot tall ice cream sundae prop was sitting just on the other side of some windows from our table. So Melody was forced to watch tourists climb all over it throughout our entire conversation.
And it looks perfect out there. It really does. It looks great. Except right now everyone's climbing on it, and it might be a hazard.
I'm just saying, it's getting our attention. It's great because this is really only in Las Vegas can you see this. We're on the second level of the Fashion Show Mall, which is a giant retail space if you aren't in Las Vegas or from Las Vegas. And over the top of this, we have a gazebo, and over the top you see the Encore Las Vegas and Wynn Las Vegas right across the Strip, and you can see Excess Nightclub and Encore Beach Club over there.
It's beautiful.
Pretty heady company there, Sweets.
Thanks. It's great how they have the gazebo lit up at nighttime, and performing out here the other night was really cool.
You did all this just to do the one single. You set all this up, right?
Yes.
Here's a taste of that single, Flavor of the Month.
Listen, for a second, I'm wrecking. I got you double checking. Then again, when to your knees did I beckon?
It turns out the single release was not the initial reason Melody had the ice cream sundae prop built.
I had the prop built actually for last year I performed at the Burlesque Hall of Fame mm-hmm. Weekender.
Right.
For the Burlesque Hall of Fame Museum. It's a huge fundraiser that happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for that originally, and then I had this 8-foot prop in my basically in my living room and backyard. So I figured I'd do something else with it.
Well, it's probably more of a photo op out here than it would be anywhere else. So.
Yeah, it's
great.
Here's
another little girl going. Oh, same.
Yeah, they're
going
to put a plaque up for me, and so it's really cool. I love it.
Well, we know you, Melody Sweets. We've known you for several years now here in Las Vegas. You were the originator of the Green Fairy role in Absinthe.
Yes.
The juggernaut on the Las Vegas trip at Caesar's Palace. You came in with that crew. And you took off from the show in October of 2017.
Yep, 2017.
October 22nd, 2017. Now, what was it? Explain the decision, why you wanted to leave the show at that time, and what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, there were a few reasons. One was I had been there for about 7 years, and, you know, it was time. I really wanted to do something on my own and get out there and continue to produce shows and do some new things. And they were also turning more, I don't know if corporate is the correct word to say, but the company has grown and evolved into a different company now.
Spiegel World,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were going to a 7-day work week, and they wanted to make all of the characters just the character names, and that would mean removing my name from
the
show.
The Melody Sweets name itself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's really important to me, to keep my identity and individuality, and it always has been. And so that was a huge deciding factor in why I wanted to leave.
If you had stayed with Absinthe, would you have had to agree to that? Was that a sticking point?
Yes,
that was a breaking point of the deal.
Yes.
Uh-huh. When you came to Las Vegas, let's roll back to when you got here.
Ooh.
We didn't know much about anything. We didn't know what Absinthe really was going to be about specifically. We didn't know any of the cast members. All I saw, I remember when we got the news release, we saw the gazillionaire character with you in the backdrop and Penny Pibbets.
Yes.
Those are the three characters. And I just remember the gazillionaire character had these really long arms and really big hands. None of us really knew what to expect out of your company and the cast members. From your end of it, what was your opinion of Las Vegas when you moved here and to open Absinthe?
I was really surprised, actually, about how polished all the shows were and how safe they all felt, especially coming from New York City, you know, where you could do almost anything you wanted to.
You're talking about the content was not as ribald or raunchy as you thought?
I'm expecting Las Vegas, you know, the city of sin and what the media tends to tell the world. And it's this crazy, sinful place. And coming here with Absinthe, which is a sinful show, I guess. Uh-huh. You know, it was a crazy, raunchy comedy show, and it was a surprise to see how very safe everything was. So I think that helped us actually really blow up here, was because we were not safe and we were not polished.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we say Sin City, but that show does fit the actual Sin City moniker. You created that role, right?
Yeah.
The Green
Yes.
Fairy. What was behind that? What was the inspiration behind this specific character in Absinthe for you?
Well, I was in Absinthe before we came to Las Vegas. We were in Australia, and I had done a couple of weeks with them in New York at the South Street Seaport. And there wasn't a Green Fairy character in the show yet. There was a Green Fairy character that would greet people as they came in and, mm-hmm. and left, and they wanted a Green Fairy character, a singer, and Ross had seen me perform at a few different mm-hmm. venues in New York. He came to my show in New York.
Ross Mollison, the founder of Spiegel World.
Yes, mm-hmm. And he brought Wayne Harrison along with him, and they saw me perform in my show, and I ended up having to originally do an audition for them. And it was really funny because in the dressing room in New York, in the tent, all these singers were there doing vocal acrobatics, and I'm sitting there putting my pasties on, and I'm like, why do all these girls have their clothes on? It didn't make sense to me, you know? And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to just do what I do. That's what I do. And so I did the audition. I sang Taboo, which was mm-hmm. the song that they ended up using in mm-hmm. the show for the finale, and I did my striptease. There were maybe three people in the tent in the daylight. It was the most awkward thing, and I was like, well, I did that, and I didn't think I would get it because I thought they were looking strictly for just a singer. And mm-hmm. and then I got the phone call, and here I am.
It's always seemed throughout the course of your run, in Absinthe in Las Vegas that you wanted to expand. You know, I think it's safe to say that you've been looking for ways to get yourself outside the context of Absinthe, right?
Well, I've always done my own thing, so it wasn't necessarily, you know, trying to get away from them or, we could have grown together. I'm all right with all of that. I just, you know, I like keeping busy and doing new things and growing and, you know, just the nature of what I do and how I write my music and my acts and shows, they're all based around burlesque numbers, basically, right, and different themes and stuff. So I enjoy working with different musicians and different, you know, different kinds of entertainers and
different
entertainment.
Arrangements,
yeah,
different
and all
interpretations and, of music. Yeah,
you know, being in that. The same show for a very long time, you know, it kind of inhibits that. In a way. And also, I had been doing my own shows, as you know, my solo shows, production shows here, and they were getting a lot of attention.
And they're great, yeah.
Yeah.
How many of those did you end up doing?
I did five or six of them in the Absinthe tent.
Right.
They were wild.
Midnight shows.
Yes. They were outrageously wild. And then I did five shows at the Smith Center, which were just fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it there.
Great spot.
Yeah.
Great atmosphere to both.
Beautiful
both
venue.
Different types of venues, but both.
Very
both
different shows.
Yeah, yeah, very different shows. But one thing that was the constant, the thread that was continual through all these shows was that you're a burlesque purist. You really believe in the burlesque art.
I do,
and
of
its
course.
Original form.
I do, in all forms.
Mm-hmm. But you like burlesque as a.
I like the history of it,
right?
And I love the history of it. Obviously, that's where I came from, New York. I did the whole burlesque circuit, you know, and that's where I grew and got my chops in entertainment, and
right.
And I owe it. I owe burlesque in a way because it showed me I could do whatever I want and be really free and do it.
In a city, especially like Las Vegas, where we tend to stamp a lot with the term burlesque, whether formally or informally around the city, to you, what has to be in place for a show or an act to be real burlesque, what we call real burlesque? What are the must things that have to be in place?
Well, I always believe that burlesque has always told a story. You know, it's not just about someone taking their clothes off. You know, there are performers out there that do just beautiful strip teases that, and they're not telling a story or making a joke or, you know, entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate those kind of that side of the art form as well. But I think a lot of times people think, I'm just going to go get some lingerie, Victoria's Secret lingerie, and I'm going to dance and take it off, and we're going to call that burlesque. It's not just that, you know, that there is a difference to it. There is an art form to it. There is this tease about it and storytelling a lot of times
also,
that I love.
And also, right, a sense of humor. There's got to be...
Yes, often. More than not, there's a sense of humor. That's my favorite.
Something you can... It's sexy, as I understand what you're saying. It's sexy, but you can also laugh at it.
Yeah.
Like what we saw here the other night with the... Even though it wasn't a striptease, it was a fun, sexy, funny experience that people laughed at and enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, and there can be different styles. There can be very dark burlesque acts and stuff, but... My favorite is to be able to have everyone in the audience be able to feel I'm approachable, to feel comfortable, you know, women and men alike, especially women. I want the women in the room to feel good about themselves and feel good about what they're watching and comfortable. And I love that. I love seeing women come together and support each other. And I think that's a big draw for burlesque.
You've managed to achieve that because as you say that, I'm remembering when you've approached audience members in Absinthe. And you do the bit with the glove,
yes.
You know, or you bite the glove and have them pull off. Always the woman who's next to the guy, I always watch her to see what her response is.
I've had a few fun responses.
Yes, it runs the gamut.
Yes.
Some have a better sense of humor about that than others. Yeah.
I've had women grab my hand. I've had them shout things at me as I leave.
Oh, jeez.
But then I realize, okay, that's that woman. She's mine. When I come back out, I'm going to make her realize that this is, this is entertainment and this is fun. And I want you to leave and have a good time with your partner, mm-hmm. you know, and the experience that you just had. So
right.
it's a bit of a challenge for me then, and winning over all the ladies in the audience.
This is a classic case of learning how to do it through many, many, many performances, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. You've done a lot of shows.
There's no way that someone can get up on stage for the first time or even the first 50 times and really know how to work an audience. And even still, a million times over, you can still mm-hmm. be caught off guard.
Depending on who's in the audience and how the response is. Yeah.
But the most definitely, the more practice you have with anything.
Do you ever total up how many shows you did for Absinthe? We ever get to that number? How many Absinthe performances?
I think
you
totaled those numbers.
I did at one point. There's several. It's more than 1,000 easily.
Oh, it's over 3,000.
3,000 shows in Las Vegas.
Yes.
With Absinthe.
Yes.
Wow. That really puts it in
perspective. It was awesome. M-E-L-O-D-Y. I heard
you got the fever for the flavor. This episode of Podcast will be right back. We'll get back to the interview in exactly 20 seconds. I'd like to use those 20 seconds to once again say thanks for listening and ask for a quick favor. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you like what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review. If you want to support the show, that's the best way to do it. Your reviews go a long way to help podcasts reach new listeners. Now back to the show. Hurry up and get a scoop there for us. Melody is currently working on an as-of-yet-unnamed project. By the time that show comes to fruition, it will have been over 2 years since she was featured in a ticketed show in Las Vegas. I wanted to know how she's managed to stay sane in the meantime.
I'm not sane.
Maybe I'm giving you too much credit.
Too late. I've gone crazy.
Hence the hair color.
Hey, I like my pink mm-hmm. hair.
It's pink month, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
But how do you keep yourself, in the right frame of mind to return to the stage? Because there's a lot of components that are needed to bring a show back, and that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, well, definitely I've been keeping busy working on music mm-hmm. and working on writing more shows, working on things like the event that we just did. This last event I just did specifically, one of the reasons was to get me back out in front of an audience and you know, do something that I thought was going to be fun and what I thought would be stress-free, which was not stress-free at all.
Would be stress-free.
I was more nervous this time than I've been in a
when
very
you're
long time.
In with an 8-foot prop.
But that was like, oh, I've got this prop. It's going to be great, you know.
Three whipped cream delight dancers. Okay.
They were all Jubilee girls.
Yes.
All Jubilee
mm-hmm.
girls.
Yeah,
we had Hazel Honeysuckle mm-hmm. do a Cookie Monster burlesque act.
That was cool.
Which was super mm-hmm. cute.
Current Green Fairy, we should
yeah,
mention.
Yeah,
Hazel.
Mm-hmm. Old friend of mine from mm-hmm. New York.
Yeah.
Also, Buttercup. Miss Buttercup did a number in the glass, a bit of a striptease.
Miss Buttercup fit right in that thing.
Yes, she did.
She was all up in there for quite a while. I think she was going to recite in there. So what is the plan? Oh, Flavor of the Month, I should mention. It's a cover and has a rap hip-hop element to it.
Yeah, it's a cover of Black Sheep. Okay. They're called Black Sheep from back in the day, and I used to love them.
It's got
a great
rap interlude.
Yeah, it's all rap, basically. But I used to love old school hip hop. When I was a kid, I used to get all the neighbors together, these three girl neighbors, and I'd do choreography with them, and we'd knock on all the neighbors' doors and hand them an invitation, and they would have to pay a quarter to come to my front yard and watch us perform on my front yard. And Black Sheep was one of the songs, Salt and Pepper, you know. But even then, I was a bit of a tyrant. If one of the girls messed up my choreography, I'd stop the show and I'd yell at them, and we'd have to start all over. And people are sitting in the grass in the front yard.
That's kind of how your solo shows have been anyway. And those girls grew up to be in Jubilee, ladies and gentlemen. That should be the model for your next show, actually. More than a quarter, but that's the template.
So I figured, hey, I used to have fun doing it back then, and Do it again, you know?
Well, I get it. You're a born performer. I guess that's the moral of that story. Let's talk about the here and now, Miss Sweets. You're partnered with Adam Steck.
Yes,
formerly,
very exciting.
Of Spy Entertainment, a bunch of shows in town, Human Nature, Boys to Men,
yes.
Hans Klock and the Thunderland operation over there with Thunder from Down Under and the Bee Gees show. And he's had a great deal of success here in the city. And you guys are right now, where are you in this partnership right now?
We're still trying to secure a venue.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple that we really love, and that's where we are.
On the Strip?
On the Strip.
What has to be, what are your requirements, the criteria for a venue for your show?
You know, it has to have ambiance. It has to have something to it. It can't be just a cold room. I feel any event that I do, the venue is part of the show. The venue is part of the cast. And so it definitely has to lend itself to the style show that we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that the style of show could change depending on the venue. You know, I want whatever show we do to work in whatever venue that we're
okay.
going to be in. So, but definitely I want something elegant and mm-hmm. something that you walk in and you're like, this is beautiful.
So you want the venue to reflect
yeah,
your
it
ideas,
should all
be
come together.
Refined.
Yeah, of course.
How are you going to be used in the show? Yourself?
I am going to do everything. You just wait and see. You're going to be like, how many people were in that show? Oh, it was just Melody. I thought there were 30 people.
Melody in 7 wigs.
What was the question?
I'm after is what's the show going to be like? What's going to be, as much as you can say, I know you don't want to disclose all the secrets of the show, but how are you going to be used and what's going to be around you?
Well, I will definitely be singing.
Mm-hmm.
There will definitely be beautiful costumes and beautiful girls, beautiful dancers, and most definitely a band, a live band. Still trying to figure out how big that band can be, depending mm-hmm. on the venue and all of that. But it's very important to me to have a live band. It's something that I really missed in Absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
Not singing with a live band.
That's been one of my qualms.
Yeah, you know,
quibbles
going,
about the show also.
Going back to, you know, the ladies yelling at me or grabbing my hand. If it was a live band, I could have stopped the band, you know, and had a good talk with this lady and then kept going, you know.
But the reason people use tracks is you know? So they can have control. I think that's why they've used it in Absinthe, so you can keep to time and you can keep, you know, keep everything in order, because there's already so much built-in chaos as it is.
Well, I think tracks really help acrobats, you know, when
mm-hmm.
when there's an acrobat that has to do these specific moves and it all needs to be perfect,
yeah.
you know, and that I understand keeping time for
yes,
those acrobats
absolutely.
Because it's extremely important that they are, you know, sometimes they're flying in the air, they're whatever's happening.
Precision
for their safety.
Extremely important.
Yes. But for other things, you know, I in whatever show I get to do next, I would like to use as little tracks as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I've personally and professionally, I've been, learning more about the application of tracks and shows. You know, I think there is a place for them is in the ways you described while incorporating still live musicians.
Oh, yes.
But I think in a show like yours where we know you like to have a band, but still, in order to deliver the entire product,
yes.
there's performance,
in all the
shows,
tracks. In all the shows that I've produced in Las Vegas, I've had all live music, except for I did the Big Top Burlesque, Circus and Burlesque
mm-hmm.
show. And that had one act where there was lip syncing. Jimmy Slonina did his
mm-hmm.
extremely hilarious clown number.
What a great
so
performer
obviously,
he is.
Yeah, he's
you have
amazing.
Had, I mean, I will tell you, and I've been introduced to a lot of great performers who not only through Absinthe but through your shows too. Some really wonderful, talented
Thank you.
People. Yeah,
I really try and bring the people who I've been able to surround myself with over the years to Las Vegas, especially from the burlesque world. There is some extremely talented people in burlesque, and we're often overlooked because of the naughtiness of what we do, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or what people perceive as being naughty,
right.
you know. So it's something that I've I've really enjoyed doing. You know, for example, bringing my friend Dirty Martini out here.
Yeah.
Who beautiful, voluptuous, you know, insanely talented burlesque performer. But, you know, over the years I've noticed Las Vegas doesn't really have her body type on stage. So bringing someone like that, who I believe wholeheartedly in as a as an entertainer, and being able to introduce something like that to a Las Vegas audience was terrifying, but people stood for her. By the end of her number, they were on their feet.
The only other, and I've been thinking about this, I'm a big fan of Dirty. The only other show that has attempted to do that, and has done it, is Zumanity with their twins.
They have they're the comedic, cute. Yeah,
they
I love them.
They have made that possible too, but it's not real. It's not what we're known for.
But, but and also with that, they're being used more for comedy.
Absolutely.
Where Dirty is being, she's this, you know, a sex object. Not a sex object. You know what I mean? She's just, you know, exuding sensuality, you know, and
we'll call
sexuality.
Her a sex object. She'd probably take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Anything with sex in it is all right. Since Melody has left Absinthe, Vegas has seen several shows come to town that feature acrobatics and an adult comedy music theme. Blanc de Blanc just opened at the Sahara, Opium is in its second year, and the Atomic Saloon Show, also from Spiegelworld, is coming to Grand Canal Shops at the Venetian. Of course, Absinthe is still running 7 days a week. I asked Melody what it's like to try to develop something original in an ecosystem of shows like that.
I am honored that those shows will be on the stage at the same time that I will be. I think what we're doing is going to be very different. I don't want to be compared to Absinthe, not knocking it at all, of course. I want to do something that's mine. So,
is it showing that maybe Las Vegas is becoming more receptive to the kind of show that wasn't around when Absinthe started?
Oh, yeah.
Because we do everything. Everything kind of, we go with the trends here.
I notice that. Yeah. But you know, that happens in any and every art form, in anything. You know, people see something that's working and they want to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I get it.
Ask the 20 magic headliners we have in Las Vegas about that. That's my favorite statistic of the year. We have 20 headlining magic shows, and my gosh, there are more coming in. So you're going to have magic in your show?
I don't know.
Maybe.
The show will be magic.
It will be magic.
It will be magical.
You're going to be, oh, I should mention, you're going to be on stage with the Elvis show, too, right?
Coming up.
Yes, I'm
very excited.
When does that happen? This is Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel, the concert.
Yes.
In concert at Harrah's Showroom.
Yes, I went and saw it a few weeks ago. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I love how they put it together and how they are giving us little tidbits about Elvis that I even didn't know about.
Yeah, that's a great. It's a great visual.
Yes, I love the
too.
Set that they've
Andy Walmsley,
created.
Our friend Andy, did
oh,
the
really?
Set.
Oh, really? Oh,
he designed
wonderful.
That
He's
thing.
Great.
Yeah.
There you go.
I knew he did because he said, I can't say anything on the record, but check out the set in the Elvis show.
You just sounded like Robin Leach.
Robin Leach did not design the set.
That's just
point
your,
in his career.
Your English accent.
I know, that's
straight,
my go-to. Okay. Too much, I guess, too many conversations with Robin over the years. But anyway, Andy's award-winning set design, all that. It's a great show.
Yeah,
a fun
I'm
show.
Excited. I'm not sure if I'm singing one or two songs yet, but it is happening on Saturday, September 28th.
All right.
So that's very exciting.
A lot of performers come to Vegas and say, you know what? If I don't have an immediate job after whatever I'm doing here, I'm probably going to take my show on the road. They do their thing in Las Vegas, and then they go off and do it somewhere else. Melody shared with me why she's decided to stick around for so long.
My dog.
Mm.
No.
Pearl? Pearl's
my dog,
a show.
She's 115 pounds. It's really hard to move anywhere with her. No, I'm just joking.
Check out Melody's Instagram for two reasons. One is because Melody's on it. The other one is because Pearl's on it. And Pearl is a, if she were a boxer, she'd be a straw weight, I think, or featherweight. 115-pound dog.
Yes, my baby.
Why?
No, come on. I love her. She's a great spooner. Okay, so...
But really.
What was it? Oh, why am I here? Well, I had, before I left Absinthe, I had kind of, you know, gone around and saw what was out there and available, and I realized that, you know, the shows that I've done in Las Vegas have been extremely well received, and... I know that the show that I we'll be able to put on soon will be really well received, one can hope, I can hope. But I know that I can put on something that people will love. And I've grown, I love Las Vegas. I wasn't such a fan when I first moved here. Well, coming from New York City, I was like, what is this?
Weren't you living at the Flamingo or something?
Yes.
Yeah, your mail delivered at the Flamingo? That's not exactly how you start.
I mean, I loved it. Bugsy visited me nightly.
Well, but that's true. This is true. You did live at the Flamingo.
I did live at the Flamingo for when we first got here. Yes. That lovely vanilla smoky air. I could still smell it.
Who knows? You could end up back at the Flamingo.
Hey now. You never know. Hey now.
Well, I saw, speaking of Flamingo, I want to ask you about this too, because as we know the community, you've attracted interest from a lot of different people who put on shows in Las Vegas.
Some
of them were in here the other night. Matt and Angela Stabile of Stabile Productions. I saw him in here, not far from where we are now. And I went up and asked him, you know, like, what's the deal? Why are you at the Holiday
Suite?
God,
you're so nosy.
I'm ardently curious. I'm ardently curious. Tell me about yourself, Angela. And they were here, and they have another production coming, a lot of success. They have Piff, they have the ex burlesque,
yes,
ex rocks, ex country stable of shows in the Stabile
That's
collection.
Very true.
What were they doing here?
I guess they wanted to see a good show.
Oh.
Wait,
that's all? Okay.
That was the first time I met them, actually.
You hadn't met the Stabiles before that night?
I think I met them in passing once, Matt, but I don't remember meeting Angela, and she's
they're probably good people
very
to know.
Sweet, yes.
Matt Stabile, his father was Jerry Lewis's manager forever. They have deep roots in Las Vegas and in the entertainment culture.
Very cool.
The Stabile fan. And Angela, you know her story, right? She was one of the original Crazy Girls on The Relief.
I did know that.
She's on that. Yeah.
Oh, how very cool.
I always get this wrong. She's second from the right if it's turned one way, and second from the left if it's turned the other way. But that's Angela.
I did not know that.
It's interesting because she was a performer on stage and learned about production and staging while on stage. And
as you do, yes.
Yeah, and came off of it and Matt created a very successful production company.
They did great.
Yeah. I digress, but still, good people to know.
Yes, they are good people to know, and I'm glad to know them.
So what's next for the new the Melody Suites, the unnamed Melody Suites project? What's the next thing that's going to happen for you to get this this show in a room and on stage?
The last that I heard, we were finding out about a venue, and I should hear something soon. I wish I heard something, you know, last year. This is definitely, I have never been more patient in my life.
You got to get this woman a spot because she's running out of props.
Because they're all over the city. My props are littered all over the city. Like, please,
and we have
someone.
To also, before we close up, mention the Burlesque Hall of Fame. You're part of the board of directors over at the Beehoff
in
downtown
please,
Las Vegas.
Everyone, Las Vegas, come and visit us. Mm-hmm. We're open. It's beautiful in there. We have some costumes on display from Gypsy Rose Lee, Dita Von Teese, Tempest Storm, Betty Page. There's all kinds of stuff.
This is
come
located on
us.
Main Street, north of is it Main? North
Main
of,
Street,
of,
yep, downtown.
Of Charleston, near the Arts District.
It's a non-for-profit museum. So come down and donate some money for the ladies to keep the art and history of burlesque alive.
Well, you are helping keep this the burlesque mecca internationally, and so is the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Support those guys. It's a cool thing, and you're a cool thing, Melody. Thanks for spending time
with
me on podcasts. We're going to continue to track your hunt for a room, and when it happens, we'll break that story. I promise you that. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Hurry up and get a scoop before it's
done. Thanks again to Melody Suites for joining us on podcasts this week. The music you've heard throughout the interview is from her new single, Flavor of the Month. You can check out the music video for that on her website, melodysuites.com. What is happening in the column, you might be asking yourselves? Well, the Colosseum at Caesar's Palace has been renovated with a new general admission section and VIP booths while keeping its original regal design. There are new lights, sound, and a big LED screen along with this overhaul. Keith Urban opened the refurbished venue on Friday and Saturday nights, and I was there on Saturday. Chaos Nightclub and Day Club at the Palms is adding the Chaos Dome. Yes, this is a see-through roof over the top of the pool area. Chaos goes dark on September 15th. reopening when Cardi B hosts Demon Dome, a Halloween spectacular. The adult cabaret Blanc de Blanc has opened at the newly reminted Sahara. It's a fun and talented production, but will it have the legs to succeed on the strip? I report back about that production. And RuPaul Drag Race Live is coming to Flamingo, Las Vegas. This is just announced. The show opens in early 2020, we are told, and tickets are on sale this week. RuPaul is not in the show, but says this is an immersive, interactive thrill ride for everyone who loves to laugh, dance, and sing along when a fabulous drag queen shakes her padded booty on stage. RuPaul uses a different word for booty, but you get the point. That closes out another episode of Podcasts. If you haven't already, please drop us a rating and review on Apple. Thank you, Frankie Marino, for our theme song, The Biggest Cat in Town. Keep up with me, or try to, on the Review Journal website or at Johnny Katz on Twitter, at Johnny Katz 1 on Instagram, and tune in next Monday to the next installment of Podcasts. And I'm the biggest cat in town.